making they poopies like Congo, man. I'm shaking the city like Quake. Yeah. The haters blue in the face like John Doe. I'm breaking the cake, so let's make. Yeah. I'm taking the game, the game's mine. Y'all witness the change, it's my time. Yeah, I'm new to the game, but y'all might wanna say you whack rap, stay late, save the time. I can dance, homie, I don't do that. Y'all looking at something like a true player.
There we go. Of course, the button sticks when we're trying to do stuff, but par is the course here for another great edition of Sports Club, and then there were two. I think you guys know which two we're talking about, which we'll get into here in a little while. We're also going to talk some Baseball Hall of Fame. They just recently did their vote, and I'll tell you who got in, who didn't, and a couple things related to that. Got some NFL news I'm going to jump into here in a minute, and who knows what else we will get into. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio and, of course, Impact Media for allowing us to come on each and every week and talk sports, football, life, dog training, you know, whatever. All kinds of things. We will always get into that. As always, if you would like to join us, 347-826-7448. Remember to keep it on a PG level. We do have small children and bigger children. They listen to this show. We want to keep it just as family-friendly as we can. You know, just out of respect, you know. It's, you guys are good listeners, so we shouldn't have a problem with any of that. Now, also, you can text us, tweet us, however you want to contact us through our various social media entities there. Check one thing real quick. But, yeah, just... as always, tons and tons of stuff to get into. Let's start. Let's see. We should start. You know what? Let's start with baseball. Because I want to start with baseball. Especially with, you know, Intentional Talk on here in the studio. Can't hear it, but if you're not watching Intentional Talk, okay, Chris Rose, Kevin Millar do a fantastic job. But no, let's talk about this Hall of Fame list. I'll give you the percentages, too, when we get to it. Let's start with people. You got to have at least, I believe, 75% of the vote in order to get in. The four that were kind of on the outside looking in, at 54%, Larry Walker, I think he eventually gets in. He was really good. Of course, at 59%, got Barry Bonds. He's getting on up there. Okay. Roger Clemens at 59 as well. Okay. I think they are closer to getting in. You got Curt Schilling at 60%, really 61%. I could not argue any of those. Now, I believe the way it is .425 Baseball Writers of America, which that's a whole different thing. I'm not saying it should be a complete fan vote. It shouldn't, but a bunch of media people shouldn't be in charge of who gets into your Hall of Fame. But that's a different argument for a different day. Now, here are the four people that got in. In his sixth year on the ballot, Moose, Mike Mussina, got 76.7% of the vote. Have no problem with Moose. Moose should be in there. Edgar Martinez at 85.5. Also at 85.5, Roy Doc Holliday. May he rest in peace, and may he rest in peace knowing that he is a Hall of Famer. And I agree. He is a Hall of Famer. And then, let's see, it was Edgar's 10th time on the ballot. It is Roy's first time on the ballot, and also in his first time on the ballot, with 100% every person who cast a ballot put this guy's name on it. And I'm going to even take off the hat, because I'm a fan of the team he played for. Mariano Rivera. Absolutely. First year on the ballot gets 100%. Yeah. I heard a stat earlier where like 2/3 of the people who ever had an at bat against him, like 1/3 of them never got a hit. 2/3 of them hit like 240 or worse. Just unbelievable. You can say, oh, he had one pitch. Go back and look. A lot more than one. Just crush people. Absolutely crushed me. So, congratulations to Mo Rivera. He definitely deserves it. Roy Holliday, Edgar Martinez might be seen. No problems there. There's some other people on this list. It's, you know, thing is, you can only vote for like so many people on a ballot. So, that's where some of the lack thereof are there. Well, the first year guys on the ballot that are going to drop off future ballots because they had less than 5%. That's fine. I think they can eventually get back on. I'm not sure about that. But this brings up the classic debate. A-Rod wants Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds in because then he can get in. Curt Schilling is not known forever enhancing his career at all except for just out-pitching people. And Larry Walker as well. Solid. So, but at some point, I think Barry and Roger are going to get in. I think Mark should have already been in. That's a whole different debate, too. I think Dale Murphy should be in. I think it's a joke that he's not. They make it like this elitist club. And, yeah, it's a great honor for the people that are in. But, man, they're some people that just I think it's Dan Patrick that says, can you tell the story of whatever sport they play in without mentioning these people? If you can, don't know if they're a Hall of Famer, but if you can't tell the story without mentioning them, then they should be Hall of Famers. Well, Larry Walker, one of the best hitters in baseball history, I think you should be in. Barry Bonds, yes, one of the best hitters of all time. Did he take stuff? Sure. Did it affect him that much? I don't think so. Roger Clemens, same way. Can you tell a story of baseball without mentioning Roger Clemens? No. Curt Schilling, absolutely not. One of the best postseason pitchers of all time. You know, at some point, we just got to get over the fact that it wounded your pride that your favorite player tried to take something to better entertain you. But, yeah, just, you know, these guys do it to entertain us. They know what this stuff does to their body. I'm not saying it's right what they did, but let it go. These guys deserve to be honored. So let's honor them. Let's get into some NFL news before we talk about those games. NFL news, the Ravens have announced a 4-year deal for John Harbaugh. I really didn't think he was going to go anywhere anyway. Even if he could still be traded at this point. You can trade coaches' rights. I don't know for what. But did they announce names? I mean, numbers, anything? No. But, yeah, probably, I mean, if you're John Harbaugh, look at his division. It's probably one of the weakest divisions. You should probably stay there. You got Cleveland, who everybody is waiting to turn it around. Haven't quite done it yet. Is next year the year? Maybe. Is it for certain? No, nothing's for certain. You got the Bengals, who are getting a brand new coach, and will probably take a year or so to get back in it. And then you got Pittsburgh, who, wow, they are a three-ring circus. So if you're John Harbaugh, yeah, I want to stay in Baltimore. I got, you know, there's a chance you can get something for Joe Flacco, and if you can't, then he walks away free and clear. You don't have to worry about it. You got your new young quarterback, Lamar Jackson. You can work on some stuff there. You got a pretty good nucleus of people there, and probably just a couple decent draft picks away from you know, getting deeper into the playoffs. They made the first round, and they didn't really get embarrassed. So, you know, if I'm him, yeah, I want to stay in this division. I'm not sure that there's a division out there that you would have a better chance in. Let's look real quick. Now the Dolphins will be better next year, so you know you wouldn't want to say Patriots. Plus, that job's not open. You don't want to be Buffalo, New York. They have their guy. The AFC South. You got Houston. You got Indianapolis. If Tennessee ever puts it together, if Jacksonville gets a different quarterback, that's a loaded division. Chiefs and Chargers dominate the West. Now, you don't want to go to the Broncos. You definitely want to go to the Raiders. Or you're not going to the Broncos. You're not going to the Raiders because of the contract. You go to the NFC side. Cowboys are good. Philly's good. At some point, the Giants and Redskins are going to put it together. That's a loaded division. You go to the NFC North. Packers are going to be back. Minnesota's still hanging on. Chicago's pretty good. So even if you took over Detroit, no. The NFC South, yeah, we don't have to say that on this show, do we? Saints will still be good. Panthers will be better. Falcons will be better. Buccaneers might. They should be. So that's a loaded division. And then you go to the NFC West, you got the Rams and Seahawks. The 49ers will be better. The Cardinals can't be that bad. Yeah, it's the weakest division. It's absolutely what you do. So congratulations to Harbaugh on that one. Look forward to seeing you on the sideline more often. And good choice. I'd stay there too. Cam Newton had surgery on his right shoulder. There's a chance he misses this entire year, Andrew Luck style. We don't know for sure, but they've already hinted towards it, so I almost halfway expect it now, because it seems like this owner, even though he shouldn't have said it, is straight up about it. Ron Rivera maybe riverboat Ron, but he's not going to take a gamble like that. So, you know, Cam Newton. Let's look for him in 2020. Anything before that? Surprise me. After the 15 different rumors, it looks like the Chiefs have decided to hire Steve Spagnuolo as their defensive coordinator. I mean, they mentioned every other big name. I think they were trying to drum up interest because they were not getting the interest they thought they would when they fired Bob Sutton. And by the way, I don't know why they fired him unless he was just going to move on anyway, because their defense was what it was, you know? It seemed like a panic move to me. Let's see if it mentions those other, you know, Rex Ryan was mentioned. Any defensive coordinator who was available seemed to be mentioned. Like I said, I think they were just trying to drum up some interest because I don't think there was a lot of interest. Now, speaking of Pittsburgh, now it seems like that the AB situation. The Antonio Brown situation, where all of a sudden he kind of turns into a diva receiver once he gets paid, just like apparently some people told him he would. Throws things, yells at people, leaves practices, doesn't show up to other ones. So he's being a diva receiver like a handful of them are. And so Pittsburgh's like, yeah, there's a pretty good bet he's not going to be he's not going to be on this team much longer. And then all of a sudden, maybe, I think it's because they didn't really get any offers either. They tried to drum up some business, and I think the offers they got were not the ones they were looking for. So there's a chance he comes back to Pittsburgh. And if he does, dysfunction switch level 4. What else is going on? Seems like Austin Seferian Jenkins wants out of Jacksonville. He pretty much said thanks to the city of Jacksonville on Twitter, I believe. Jaguars have said we didn't really make that choice. I think he's pretty much making it. Anything else going on? It's just super. Most of it's just filler right now because it's, what, 11 or 12 days before the Super Bowl, and nobody's got a whole lot going on. You know, there's no Deflategate. There's no goofy controversy. The only controversy is some of the calls, and, you know, I'll get into those in a minute. I do want to throw this out here. What if I told you 10, 15 years ago that the first Super Bowl appearance for Tony Romo was going to be as part of the CBS broadcast? That's true. And he's fantastic. The way he predicts plays, the way he says, oh, they're killing the play. Oh, they need to, they've got Gronk outside. It looks like they're going to, oh, it looks like they're definitely going to do this. It's fantastic. It's just John Madden turned up to 11. For all you kids who don't understand the reference, go check that out. Why I say 11. But I think Romo's, the fact that we're getting Romo and Nance this year is, I think it's the best scenario that we could have gotten. So definitely on board for that. It's going to be a fun Super Bowl. We will get more into the Super Bowl next week. Because there's no reason to get into it right now. You guys know that. Pro Bowl's this weekend. I'll probably watch the Pro Bowl, but at the same time, some of you guys will. I think it's just look at it for the spectacle that it is. Don't try to take it too seriously. It's a sideshow. So enjoy it for what it is. Congratulations to all the people that are going, all the people that got voted in, and such things like that. But let's get into these games. Let's start with the AFC game, even though it was the second game, because obviously the NFC one is a little more controversial, or so people think. So, let's start. Both these games went to overtime, by the way, which is astounding in itself. In the AFC, though, you had the Kansas City Chiefs, who were hosting the New England Patriots. Pretty much unless you were a Patriot fan, you were probably going for Kansas City in this. But the Patriots end up winning the coin toss in overtime and going all the way down, and Rex Burkhead ends up taking a touchdown in. And everybody in New England celebrates and cheers, and everybody everywhere else got their feelings hurt pretty much. Oh, the Patrick Mahomes didn't get a chance. What's the rules? You can't be mad at that. That's something what they voted on or they decided a couple years ago to solve the other problem. It should be sudden death in my opinion. I don't like the fact that both teams can potentially get a chance to get the ball. No, it's sudden death. It's the same thing I always say, and I'm going to say it again in the next game too. If you don't want it to come down to sudden death, don't let it go to sudden death. There's so many more opportunities. There's 80 opportunities, 80 different plays or more per team where you could have done something differently. You could have did something to shake it up. You could have did something that you didn't do, and you didn't do it. So I don't want to hear it. If you let it come down to one play, if you let it come down to one drive, to one thing, well, then, you know, it is what it is. You get what you get.
Oh, it's funny because it's true.
I mean, it is. I don't know if it's funny. It's true. It's Dana White famously said this to a couple UFC fighters that complained about a referee decision at the end of a bout. He said, don't let it go to the referees then. End the fight before it goes to the referees. Because if you let it go to the referees, you can't really be upset because it's how they saw the fight at that point, not how you saw it. It's the same way here. It's the same thing I'm saying here. Kansas City fans, does it kind of stink that the Patriots just go down there and score? Yeah, it does, because that means you guys are out. That means you're a young team. You get a whole offseason. You're getting a new defensive coordinator. You get a whole offseason to figure out how do we duplicate it and how do we try to get back. I think you guys will be back. Good, solid team. Not a lot of free agents. You got Patrick Mahomes still for another, 3 years before you have to pay him? Probably two. A lot of young talent. I think you're probably a couple, one big move and a couple draft picks from making it work. From making it really work. And for everybody who's thinking, yeah, the Patriots are just going to continue to load up because they have like 12 picks or 14, 16 picks. I don't know, I think it's 12 in the first three rounds. Yeah, they have 4 or 5 picks per round. So they're gonna reload. So there's something to look forward to. But Kansas City, you played a solid year. You played a great year, phenomenal year. Did you play over expectations? Yeah, I think a little. We all knew that you guys were going to be pretty good. I think you guys were great. You had a great season. But once again, you let it come down to one drive. You let it come down to one moment. I mean, you're going to blame the coin for falling on heads and not tails? Instead of coming up with excuses, be proud of your team. I mean, can we get the numbers up real quick of that game? Here we go. Let's get some of the stats on this because I know you guys are going to ask me about stats. I know you can look them up too. Let's get into some of these here. Here we go. Tom Brady, 30 for 46, 348 yards, a touchdown, 2 interceptions. Would have been 3 interceptions, but D Ford lined up in the backfield of the other team. Sony Michel, 29 carries for 113 yards, 2 touchdowns. Rex Burkhead, 12 carries for 2 touchdowns. James White even had a couple carries as well. Receiving, Edelman, 7 for 96. Gronk, 6 for 79. There's part of why they scored 37 points. Philip Dorsett with a great touchdown catch. Brady spreading the ball around. James White with 49 yards. Chris Hogan with 45. Burkhead with 18. Cordarrelle Patterson, who is on the scrap heap anywhere else, 23 big yards. Kyle Van Noy with the big play. The interceptions from the Patriots were by Jason McCourty and Jonathan Jones. You guys know that. Kyle Van Noy might be one of the best players in the league. He ended up having 10 tackles, 8 by himself. He had a tackle for a loss. He had 2 sacks, and he caused a fumble. How can you do much better than that? Trey Flowers had a sack and a tackle for a loss. Lawrence Guy with a half a tackle. John Simon with one. Gustowski's going to hit all of his kicks. We know that. But overall, good stats, right? Yeah. All right, let's look at Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, 16 for 31, 295, 3 touchdowns. I don't have a problem with anything except for that he was about 50%. I think he was like 54% at that point. But he only threw 31 times. Now, usually I say, yeah, I don't want him throwing a whole lot. But if he's this great weapon, then because you didn't have a run game. You had Damian Williams who carried the ball 10 times for 30 yards and a touchdown. Yeah, 10 times. And another 2 for Patrick Mahomes. So your rushing attack was 12 carries for 41 yards and one touchdown. And your quarterback only threw 31 times, and only half of those went to people, even though three of the 16 were touchdowns. I mean, New England shut you down. They shut you down. Sammy Watkins had the breakthrough with four catches for 114 yards, but he was targeted eight times. That means four times he didn't get the ball. Damian Williams coming out of the backfield, five catches for 66 yards and two touchdowns. He was targeted eight times. So it was three times he didn't get the ball. You know, everybody else with one catch or fewer. Travis Kelce had three for 23 yards and a touchdown. Outside the touchdown, forgettable day. The Patrick Mahomes fumble, those happen. I don't blame him at all. But, I mean, here's the defense. You know how many sacks they had? I'll give you a hint. The Kansas City Chiefs had as many sacks on Sunday as I did. That's zero. Zero. You're going to have to, I don't think it's your scheme. You got good personnel. You just got to shuffle some things around. You've got to get better as a defensive unit. I know you had injuries a couple times here and there, but to me, that's how you guys are going to be able to fix this and to rebound is you got to fix the defense and you got to be able to control the clock a lot more. But like I said, Patriots win 37-31 in overtime. So, we know the AFC representative. Who's going to be the NFC representative? Because the Rams and the Saints went at it. In the whole first half, especially the first quarter, the Rams, either the helmets didn't work communication-wise, or even when they did, they couldn't hear. Saints fans, you guys were doing a spectacular job of making as much noise as possible. But the Saints only had, what was it, 13 points in the first half or something. So you had three. Oh, they had 20. No, they had 13. It was 13-10. 13-10 at halftime. After that much crowd advantage. I don't know what happened to the Saints offense towards the end of this year, but my goodness, when they went off the cliff, they went off the cliff Thelma and Louise style. I mean, pretty much, you know, foot on the gas, arms in the air, convertible off a cliff. My goodness. Because think about it. You basically scored 13 in the first half. You scored 10 in the second half. Where did your offense go? You have Drew Brees. And it's not just Drew Brees. You got the Swiss Army knife, Taysom Hill, that you can do all kinds of stuff with. They didn't have much of a rush game. Mark Ingram had 9 carries for 31 yards. Alvin Kamara, 8 for 15. What? Really? Alvin Kamara had 11 catches for 96 yards to make up for it, but Ted Ginn, 3 catches for 58 yards. Well, like 48 of them were one catch. You have Michael Thomas, 4 catches for 36 yards. Really? One of the weakest parts of this Rams defense is the secondary. Come on. I don't know what happened to your offense, but off the cliff, Thelma and Louise style right there. So it's another case where you let this go to overtime. The Saints even won the coin toss. They got the ball first and couldn't make it happen. Thing is, you got Will Lutz, your kicker. At some point, you should have been able to get close enough for him to do. He could kick 57 yards, which is what ultimately Greg the Leg Zuerlein kicked for the game winner. Will kick that. You just didn't get close enough. So you give the ball to the Rams. So you guys have no reason to be upset either. If you want to be upset at your offense. It wasn't the defense's fault. Defense had a pretty good day. Cam Jordan with a big sack. DeMario Davis, 14 total tackles, 9 of them by himself. P.J. Williams had a big day. And yet, once again, you guys let this go to the judges, a.k.a. overtime, the gods of football, the gods of overtime, and you won the toss, end up giving the ball to the Rams. Rams go down and kick a field goal, and you lose. And now there's a bunch of questions. Is Drew Brees coming back? I would say probably 90%, probably so. Is Sean Payton coming back? Probably 90%. Yeah, they're another young team, too. Outside of those two, I think everybody else associated with the team is like 30 or less. So, Saints fans, A, I don't want to hear it. It's a rough game. 2 years in a row, just completely crazy ending. But, no, your offense let the team down. Your offense did. All they had to do was get close enough, and they did. Rams fans. Jared Goff, 25 for 40. Sorry, about 60%. 297, one touchdown, one interception. Really. Todd Gurley had your rushing touchdown. He had 4 carries for 10 yards. What? I think he's injured. I think he's still injured. He's got to be the way he's playing. It's not effectiveness. The injury's causing the lack of effectiveness. C.J. Anderson, 16 carries for 44 yards. Woof. That's what, 3 yards a carry? My goodness. I mean, without Brandon Cooks, 107 yards, Josh Reynolds with his 74. Because, the backup tight end or whatever, Tyler Higbee catches a touchdown. But the Rams only get 2 touchdowns. One on the ground, one in the air. Saints do the same. They had plenty of times when they should have ended this game, and they didn't. And Ndamukong Suh ended up with a sack and a half. Dante Fowler had a big half sack. I mean, your defense actually showed up. Sure, you're going to say, oh, they only scored 23 points. Or we gave up 23 points. Well, yeah, you did, but they kept winning a game when your offense wasn't really cooking either. Because I tell you right now, I don't know if you NFC people watched the AFC game, but Tom Brady put up points. Tom Brady put up 37 points, which is 11 more than you scored. If you want to say, well, 6 of that was in overtime, okay, 3 of yours was in overtime. So let's say they scored 31, you scored 23. So that's 8, right? 8. Yeah. So there's 8 more points. If this Rams offense shows up against the Patriots, it might be over at halftime. I mean, that's just crazy, ridiculous, incredible. And I'm not predicting anything yet, and no, this is not me being one side or the other, because if the Rams offense starts clicking, this becomes a score fest. Ooh, what a, you thought Rams KC would have been good. I think Patriots Ram might be the best matchup. This Rams defense against that Patriot offense, man. Like I said, we're gonna break it down a lot more next week. But you know, we got Rams and we got the Patriots right here in Atlanta. In hot, no, nobody calls it hot Atlanta. Don't even try. Right here in the Big A, the Big ATL. It's gonna be fun. A lot of extra people in town. Everybody, be careful. The night before, I'll be telling about this anyway. The night before, me and a bunch of other people here from Impact Media will be at the Gladiators game. You're welcome to come by. We will happily talk football, is on top of hockey and everything else. But of all the teams and the way everybody's playing right now, because I think the Rams offense is going to play a little better. They got time to heal up. I think Todd Gurley is going to be good to go. Because we all know the Patriots on defense try to shut down your biggest offensive weapon. Well, it'll be interesting to see what they think that is on the Rams. It could be a couple different things. They try to take that away. And what the Rams defense does is try to smother you up front to where you either don't have time or can't see to get the ball downfield. We'll see. We'll definitely see how this all goes. But, you know, that's actually going to do it for us this week. Got a semi-short show. Just a couple things to talk about. Do want to say that for those keeping track at home, our picks, we are myself, Cody, and Coach are all tied at 5, I believe. Reggie at 4 because he didn't send in a pick for this week. It's all right. But we'll do some kind of weird tiebreaker with the Super Bowl because we can't have a tie. We don't do ties here. But like I said, that is going to do it for us this week. Shout out to everybody at Impact Media and Blog Talk Radio for allowing us each and every week to come on and talk football, baseball, and more. Shout out to all you guys who download the podcast. If you're getting us from the iTunes store, please go rate, review, you know, drop us a comment, question, suggestion, anything whatsoever. Maybe you got a recipe for a nice holiday pie. We're good for that, too. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks to Cody. Thanks to Coach. Thanks to Reggie. Thanks to John. Thanks to Joseph and everybody else out there that help us each and every week make this fantastic. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys next week. Go Falcons.
By that much.